Mary Crocker is being interviewed by Renee Garlick for Concord's Oral History Program. The interview is taking place at her home at 1891 on September 18th, 2006. Mary is 90 years old. Will you tell me about your wonderful house and how old and how it came to be built?
This house was built in 1830, and I'm almost positive that Marion Wheeler's was built in 1824 by the same family, only brothers. And we've lived in this house since 1931.
And it was built for the powder company?
No, it was built for the Haywood brothers.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it had nothing to do with the powder company.
Well, it was owned when we bought it by the American Powder Company.
Okay, at that point owned by them. Mm-hmm. So you paid rent American Powder Company, and this was connected with the powder mills that were close by. You were very close to a pond.
Yes.
Can you tell me about the pond?
Yes, the pond is down behind our neighbor's house here, and all our lives we called it Hat Shop Pond. Simply because by Bob Carter's, there was a certain type of grass that grew, hay or some kind of grass that grew, and that was used in the brims and the hats.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I know, I'm not positive where it was, but down on Harrington Avenue. I can't remember which side of the street it was on. But it was a small outfit. It was gone before we came here.
I see.
And there was a big ice house down on this pond, and they cut ice in the winter.
And you used to skate there?
Mm-hmm. We swam in the summer and skated in the winter.
So all the neighborhood children must have congregated there.
I don't know how many children I taught how to swim.
And at a later point, it was purchased by Elsie?
Yes, Elsie Kennedy owned it, and she changed the name to Kennedy Pond.
And she lived on Mill Street with a dance hall?
That's what Finnish Temperance had, a dance hall there. And they used to have a dance I think it was Friday night. And they had a lot of people go to it.
So this was the Finnish Temperance mm-hmm. Society?
For Maynard,
mm-hmm. Okay. I know Maynard did have mm-hmm. a number, quite a strong Finnish population.
That's right. There was a big crowd then.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. All your life, you lived on Main Street, but not always this Main Street. Can you explain?
Well, for the first 5 years after we came from Nova Scotia, we settled at 43 Main Street, and that's where the driveway is between the bank and Sally Ann Food Shop is now, mm-hmm. into the house. It was a very, very big house. And then we came here, moved here. And this was 512 Main Street, and they changed it to 1891 without if they renumbered it, street. So I've lived 80 years on the Main Street. Can you imagine? I even got off of it.
That's funny. And what year did you move here?
1931.
31. Okay. And actually, your front door is now...
We're in between two streets, Main Street and Haywood Mill.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think this was, part of the house was the original, Main Street wasn't there for a good many years. So this was the main part of the house, main front of the house, I mean.
I see. Just where your front door was your front door here.
That, yeah. Until it was changed to Main Street. So then we got one on each street.
I see. Ultimately, your family did purchase the house. When and from whom?
Oh, after the war, my brother Kenneth bought it from Daniel Hayes from the Garnett Mills.
He owned the Garnett Mills.
And he got it, when he bought it, it was with the GI Bill, the service. So when he purchased it, it was to be a home for anybody as long as they wanted to stay here or until they left on their own. And I have never left.
And it's wonderful here.
I'm the oldest one of nine, and I'm still here.
That's really terrific. Nine children is
nine.
quite a number here.
Well, there's six boys and three girls.
Great. Your father?
Lee. L-E-E.
And he worked?
He worked for the Concord Ice Company.
And that was located?
On Walden Street.
Bill Grace and John Forbes.
They purchased it. And I'm almost positive it was 1924, I'm pretty sure. I'm almost sure because Dad came up here to work for them in 1925 because there was very little work and my father hated farming. So he had been up here as a young man anyway, had worked for the ice company in Somerville.
That's interesting. Then at that time, of course, there were big slabs of ice.
That's right.
They used to separate the ice with sawdust at that time?
Oh, when they put it in the ice house, it used to go up in a conveyor belt. It was, and would go like this all the way up to the, and then each level, when they got it all in the house itself, then they covered that all with sawdust, and that's what then another layer of ice, another layer of sawdust, and that's how it kept the ice, so they could use it all the summer.
So that insulated it.
Insulated it.
It was delivered. Horse and wagon for a while.
There was several. They had several teams. And Dad had the black team, and they were very skittish. No matter if you stop to deliver ice in this house, you have to put the chain like clamp like thing on the wheels because of the car go by and toot the horn. The horse is very skittish.
I see.
And that was Dad's team, and he always took care of it. Even on Sunday, he walked down from when we lived on 43 Main Street. Every single Sunday, he walked down to clean his horses and feed them.
And then they did away with the horses.
In 1933, they did away with the teams, the horses, and they had cars. Not cars, trucks. So we get the picture of 1933.
Well, that's a wonderful picture you showed me with your father in it.
Do you think that I should get a copy and give it to the library?
Yeah, I'd be very glad to transport it there for you.
All right.
I think they would like it very much.
As long as nothing happens to it.
And then, you would identify your father and anybody else that you know in it. Great. The rivalry between Concord and West Concord, people talk about it, and since you started out living in Concord Center and moved to West Concord, did you see that?
That all started when they put Route 2 in. And they used to make fun of you. They used to say, you belong up the other side of the tracks.
So this
there was real rivalry, and I think today there is underneath for some people.
Yeah. So Route 2 probably came in the around 38, you know, or
I think
maybe
it was
earlier.
Before that.
In the 30s.
But that really divided the town.
Mm-hmm. Route 2.
See, that they considered Concord all the wealthy people, and West Concord all the poor people. That went on for years and years and years.
Although there were many very working class, modest neighborhoods in Concord.
That's right,
yeah. But I guess this was the more commercial end of town.
That's right.
They actually charged you bus fare, you told me.
That's right. We had to pay 50 cents a week.
To go to school.
And we went on the Lovell bus out of Maynard. It went from Maynard to Arlington Heights. And that's when they picked us up and on their way to Arlington Heights. And then they picked us up on their way from Arlington Heights to Maynard.
So this wasn't a typical school bus?
Oh, no, dear. No, it was just a regular bus.
Oh, I see.
So we had to have 50 cents. And if you didn't have 50 cents, you couldn't ride the bus.
So it was 50 cents a week.
50 cents a week if you didn't have... Well, you know, that was in the Depression. And if you didn't have that 50 cents, you didn't ride.
And sometimes you didn't?
No. Because you had to earn it babysitting or mowing somebody's lawn or doing something to get that 50 cents.
Well, walking to the high school must have been some ordeal.
That's right, it was. We had to walk. One whole fall we walked. And that was from this house all the way to Stowe Street. The high school was on Stowe Street then.
We never missed
a day, and we were never, knock on wood, we never missed a day, and we were never late.
That's really incredible.
That's how bad we want our education.
That's really so commendable, but it's really too bad that they had that in place. You said a neighbor...
A lovely lady, and she lived on Central Street. It's almost behind the Union Church. And she felt so sorry for us that she didn't want us to walk in the winter. So every Sunday, we had to walk down to her house and get 50 cents. 50 cents, my brother and I had to walk. So we had to sign this little paper for 50 cents. Thanking her and 50 cents for me thanking me.
Oh, my. But that was a big help, to you.
It certainly was. Can you just think of a kid doing that today?
I couldn't even think of it.
Kids don't like to go to school, and we could hardly wait to go to school.
Well, that's really wonderful. This road, Edgewood Road, was probably built, after the World War II.
After the 50s.
In the 50s. Mm-hmm. And then came Thorough Hills.
Edgewood. See, there wasn't another house on the left-hand side until you get all the way up to Maynard. Now there's do you know where the florist shop is on the right-hand side? Well, that's the beginning. There was a nice big white house almost opposite it. And that was the first house.
Really?
All that distance. There was three little tiny houses up near, but there were shacks, really, up by Bob Carter's. But,
and Bob Carter lived on Main Street.
Yeah, Bob Carter
lives
up Haywood. And where Bob lives. And one of them didn't have... They collected rainwater in a barrel. And for drinking water, they got a gallon of water every single day from here. So my brothers carried it up, the gallon of water. And when the boys didn't do it, then my dad did it. Hmm. So they got a gallon of fresh water every single day.
Well, that is living frugally.
That's right.
And you remember the apple storage company on Main Street? Close by here.
Mm-hmm. That was a real, after the storage building, that was a real, real big business. In the fall, when they thought there were going to be a frost, there'd be trucks lined up all by this house all the way down on Sunday to get the apples in before the frost. And when that first opened, they had a big dance. And I guess it was old-fashioned. I don't know. I wanted to go so bad, but my mother wouldn't let me.
She didn't like dancing.
No, that wasn't a fit place for a 16-year-old.
And you thought it was a very fit place. I can understand that. Prohibition, how did that affect your family?
It didn't affect us because my mother wouldn't allow any liquor in this house. And my brother always said, you'd die of thirst before you go drink in this house. My father was never, or the boys were never allowed to have a can of beer, a bottle of beer in this house.
Oh, my. And there were places in town that they could go?
Yeah. There was Lyle's Cafe that was on Commonwealth Avenue.
On what? Which side of the street?
It was on the right-hand side. I think there was... I think it's near Maynard Forbes, the 5 and 10.
Mm-hmm. Did that become
Frank's shoe store was there for years. Mm-hmm. But that was Lyle's.
L-Y-L-E?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Lyle's. And then there was another one on Commonwealth Avenue, the other side of the street. Oh, I can't remember the name of that. But there was two anyway.
Okay. Did Lyle's become Lahif's later on, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know where that is.
Yeah.
And what are some of the stores that you remember on Commonwealth Avenue?
Oh, I remember where the hotel was, and Adams and Bridges, and there was a pool room. The man that run that pool room lived in this house 11 years before we did. His name was King. Mm-hmm. And then they moved down to the corner of Pine Street and Main Street. And Mrs. King did hairdressing. Then
what was the name of the hotel?
Elmwood Hotel. And Adams and Bridges.
And that was a general grocery?
That's right. Mm-hmm. And there was another store there, a little store, but I can't remember.
So we're talking exactly about the opposite side of the street from
5 and 10.
5 and 10 mm-hmm. now. And before the 5 and 10, you remember?
That was Bartolomeo's fruit store. And I'm pretty sure, I'm telling you right, I think they lived in the back of the fruit store, mm-hmm. or back or part of the fruit store.
And the day that you had it open late, in the evening was different from today.
Well, in Maynard, it was always Friday night was a big time because, see, the American Lawn Company had three shifts at that time, and so that they got paid on Friday, and Thursday was a big payday in West Concord.
Oh, so Thursday was West Concord?
West Concord was paid on that. But in Maynard, it was a real, real big thing. Everybody came to shop, and they get the checks cash.
Okay, so the stores here were open late
mm-hmm.
on
I'm pretty sure it was Thursday, I'm pretty
here.
Sure they were.
Okay.
In those days, it wasn't open on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I think at one time, I think they closed at noontime. But I'm not positive. Seems to me they did.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Thursday was always the
shopping
day
yeah.
here. All right. You also remember the West Concord fire station burning.
Well, that was a terrible, bad fire. What made it so bad, it was windy, and all the sparks were going on to the different houses, so the poor firemen had an awful job in their hands.
And the fire station was located then on?
Fire station was located on Church Street.
Mm-hmm. So it was never replaced?
No.
It burned down completely?
That's right. That's where the cleaners is now, and Twin Seafood and
I see that
yeah.
stretch. And about what year was that?
I think it was 1933 or 34. Mm-hmm. It would have to be 33. I think it was 34, if I'm not mistaken. But that was a very, very bad fire.
Oh, people remember it today. Yes.
It was awful. The trains, they had to stop the trains and everything.
So they probably needed help from all over.
It was awful. It really was.
The automobile age, you've seen it arrive and take hold. It was a very big thing to have a car.
That's right, it was. I don't know where we got it. That we got from some place in Concord. It was a very old car anyway, and that was really the thing, to have a car. And I remember we went to see my uncle lived in Portland, Maine, and it took my dad all day to drive to Portland, Maine, and all day to drive home because of somebody told him you only go such a regular speed, you know, keep your speed down, say to 30 or something. We were exhausted. We got up at 4 o'clock. We didn't get home till midnight.
Well, that was before the interstate highway, certainly.
It was awful.
And you learned to drive?
My aunt and uncle, Frank and Sadie Draper, on Maplewood Farm. And I used to go up there when I was 15. I stayed up there the whole summer. And they had help in those days. There was six men, I think, worked there. And one of them had a little car. And he said it was about time I learned to drive.
Oh.
So I did. So I learned to drive when I was 15.
Oh, that's wonderful.
But it was the old-fashioned with a clutch and I remember distinctly, it went down the lane, and I had to learn how to turn around. And I couldn't cut the wheels the right way to turn around, and he yelled at me.
Well, that's so easy to me.
I learned anyway. But I think I learned the right way because I got my license. I think I was 24 and I got my license, and I haven't driven for about 5 years. But all those years, knock on wood, I've never had an accident.
Great.
Or a ticket or anything.
That's great.
So I must have done something right all these years.
Oh, that's really remarkable. And your family had an old car.
It was an old car. I think it was an old Studebaker. I'm pretty sure it was.
Did they use it much?
Only when you went shopping, or it wasn't for pleasure.
So you were still walking.
We were still walking.
And you, when you went to the movies, that was in Maynard.
We had a walk. Walked to Maynard, we walked back to Maynard. Just to go to see a Western for 10 cents. Mm. Isn't that something for 10 cents?
Yeah, that is. That really is. So you say your aunt and uncle owned Maplewood Farm on Lexington Road. What were some of the things that they raised that you worked with?
Well, they raised a lot of vegetables, but they had a specialty of strawberries. And we had to pick strawberries. And he used to go early in the morning to Maynard and get about six kids and to pick strawberries. And we got 1 cent a box. And one summer...
That was a pint or a pint? A pint box?
No, quart.
Quart box?
One penny. Cents. 1 cent. That's what we got.
Oh, my.
And one time, I hadn't picked enough, and my aunt made me go back pick five more. And one summer, I think I was about 16, 17, I think. They had 1,000 boxes of strawberries. 1,000. And the Colonial Limo called up. They wanted 50. Mm-hmm. Let me get 50. All of us picked 50, and then they want more.
Wow, so you're a big supplier.
That's right.
In the area. You remember the Colonial Inn, those things?
The Colonial Inn was a real old, I love old things, and I just love the Colonial Inn. And I wish it was back today like it used to be, in the old days. And they had a man that was there, I guess he was the manager, he'd been there for years, but he went with it. I think his name was D, begin with a D. But he was a perfect person, the perfect host.
There was another place in Lincoln that was a restaurant that you may have sold strawberries to.
That was the Hartwell Farm in Lincoln. Mm-hmm. And my uncle supplied them with milk and cream. Oh, and they'd take all the cream. They did a very big business there. And it was two ladies, and I don't know what they were. I don't think they were related. Miss Fitch and Miss Poor run it.
So they were interested in the dairy products.
That's right.
That your uncle had.
That's right.
So he must have had plenty of cows.
Oh, he did. Yeah, he had cows. A pair of horses. Mm-hmm. Imagine this day and age using horses, place a tractor. They have tractors to do everything. And
yeah.
And the horses.
So that was still back in the 30s that we're talking about.
And the horses used to plow in winter.
For the roads,
Used this pair of horses.
And they owned the farm until after the war, do you think?
Mm-hmm. I can't think of what year it was.
But it was a number of years.
A number of years. Because my aunt died when she was young, and then years after we married again, and they were there a long time after that. Mm-hmm. Then he died. I can't remember. I was only 16 when my aunt died, I know that.
Mm-hmm. And then probably the Nowaks had purchased
they did,
it from them. Maynard and West Concord being so close to each other, you know, there probably was a lot of interaction, you know, with each other. You went to work in Maynard.
I worked up at the A&P store on Nason Street for 21 years.
You started during the war?
1942. And I was there until 63.
I think you were on your way to go to the mills, and
that's right.
That was a better job.
Well, see, my brothers were going in the service, so we needed the money at home. So that's why I thought I could make more money. But my brothers kept saying, you could never work in the mill. You just couldn't do it like that. Mm-hmm. So my mother was shopping one day, and they said that they were hiring. They were going to hire some women. They had to, see, because they were sure to help, too. So they said, well, send her up. So I went up. And they hired me right off, and I was there all those years.
Yeah, that's nice. Afterwards, when you retired from there, you were quite active in the Senior Citizens Club.
When I was 62, I joined the Council of Aid. I joined the Senior Citizens Club.
Mm-hmm. So for a while, that was part of the Council on Aging.
No, it was originally, that was part of it, but the other, like the Senior Citizens Club, mm-hmm. was from a throwback from the recreation apartment. Mm-hmm. So then for a number of years, before I was president, they got so much money a year from the recreation apartment. And then they weren't getting any money at all. So that's why they became an independent club.
Mm-hmm. And you met through in the church, Our Ladies?
Our Ladies Church, downstairs. And they were very, very good to us. They didn't charge us any rent at all, so we gave them a donation every year. But we couldn't give them probably 200, but we couldn't do much because it was only $2 to join. Then we went up to $3. We disbanded anyway because our membership was getting way down. The people were old. We didn't want anybody to fall. Mm-hmm. And we had two meetings a month, and then got down to one, but we were so afraid that somebody would fall.
So this was during the 60s into the 70s?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was later than that, I think. Well, anyway, after my brother died in February 01, with me with the walker, and I didn't have anybody to carry anything for me then, I said that I just couldn't be president anymore. So they all said that nobody could do it like you do, and nobody stepped forward to do it. And they said, let's disband, just like that.
That was relatively recent, mm-hmm. Just about 5 years ago. So you did a lot of event planning and activities.
Well, we always had some interesting program. Well, we had the fire department come and speak, and we had the police department. We had the girl with the dog, canine dog. Well, Tom Ruggles did it for me for so many years. And we always had a Christmas sing-along. And one year, Tom Ruggles.
Yes.
Well, anyway,
wonderful entertainment.
Well, anyway, he had me wear a red nose. we were singing away, and my nose popped off. So Tom was very good, mm-hmm. because he was very, very willing to do it. Then we had slides, mm-hmm. and then we had music. We had the chorus from Maynard Senior Citizens Club.
We had all
interesting things.
Yeah. Was that more of a West Concord group or from both sides?
No, there was a few from Concord, but it was mostly West Concord.
By the way, in singing, did you, since you seem to like singing, did you go down when they had singing around the Christmas tree?
Well, that's when I lived at 43 Main Street.
Yeah.
And then we went from there to the open house at the inn.
Oh, the inn would have an open house?
Mm-hmm. After the singing.
After the sing, oh, okay.
And we had some kind of a drink, I don't know what it was. Mm-hmm. I can't remember.
Yeah, well, that's all right.
But that man was a perfect host. He just went with the inn.
You really love Concord.
I love Concord. I loved it from the very day I came at 43 Main Street, and I have always loved it. And I can find beauty any place in Concord.
You told me a story how proud you were holding the flag.
I was a Girl Scout, and that left a lasting impression on me. To this day, when I took the oath of the Girl Scouts, on my honor, I'll do my duty to God and my country and help other people at all times. So that, I was only 10 years old. This was when I was 11 that I held the flag so straight. They told me not to dip it or anything, and to hold it straight, and I was the tallest one, so I was so proud to carry that flag. And in those days, we had carried wreaths made out of lilacs and put them on the grave. Well, anyway, when I got home that day, I told my mother my stomach hurt. And she said, well, let me see. And I held the flag so tight, told me I had a water blister.
Oh, gosh. Well, you didn't forget that?
No.
And you love to see the flag in Concord.
I think that's one of the greatest thrills in life, to be there by the library and look up and see that flag, sort of like in the sky, a northwest wind blowing, and that flag is open, free.
This is Monument Square.
That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thank you for participating.
Well, I feel so happy, Rainey. You know, I love Concord, been at Concord since I was 10 years old, and I'm going to be buried in Sleepy Hollow.
Well, we both are.
Oh, is that great?